The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, planet people, this is Kev Energy. On the show, Heaps More Energy, where solar is made simple. This show has been brought to you by Heaps More Energy New Zealand for solar monitoring services. The show is predicated on the responsibilities and rights inherent in us all to take part in the conversation and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Solar Made Simple is every Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. with a replay on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. And of course, it's online all the time with Fresh FM, and you can podcast that at any time that suits you. I'm sitting in a beautifully warm house where we've recently had the insulation reappraised. We now have both floor, ceiling, we had walls before, and we are fully compliant with the warmer home standard. We've got a heat fire going, and you might hear the crackle in the background, plus a water heating unit in the, it's called a wetback, and we are happy as Larry, plus the effect of a home reticulation ventilation system. I did also come across some articles combining the interpretations of what is good, bad or indifferent on home heating, and we are going to be also talking about where the gentailers come into this whole question. So what is at stake is in fact how the gentailers are maintaining a stranglehold on us, almost like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The squashing competition leading to power prices that the energy retailer groups have put forward. So, big and small energy consumers are calling for an urgent reform of the sector as soaring prices undermine confidence and productivity. Notwithstanding the fact that we are in the depths of winter, so therefore our draw on the power is very high, the question is how much resilience do we have in these networks? The group's open letter to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said many consumers are struggling to keep the heat on this winter, while the wholesale costs for many businesses had more than doubled. So not many businesses can withstand that kind of clout, in addition to the hapless homeowner who is bearing the brunt of the leads and the lags on power prices. So these came through on April 1, where the daily supply charge sometimes one and a half doubled or even trebled in amount. So you really have to watch your power bill. And of course, the Power Switch economy website is very important. So that's powerswitch.org, and that is consumer-led initiative. There are a few other ones that are coming on the market, so Google that space and see what you come up with. Families and communities are being left behind in the power game. The government had commissioned an independent high-level review of the energy sector, yet another one, but the group was looking for more than incremental changes. So it's core changes that they're seeking. The letter A takes aim at the four big generating companies, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are Genesis, Contact, Mercury and Meridian, also referred to as gentailers, because they've got their feet on both sides of the camp. They don't only produce, they control the prices as they come to market. In fact, I am with a company that is going to be folded into the Genesis Group. So, along with the likes of Kiwi Electric, this space is going to get smaller as the prices become more controlled. So, when a handful of companies control both generation and retail supply, the competitive pressures that should attract new investors and drive innovation, efficiency, and fair pricing are severely diminished, the letter said, and I refer to maybe the food groups, two big food groups that are controlling the nation. They are not driving down the prices, they're driving up the prices. So we have these two-edged swords, and we are the hapless people in the middle. The letter was signed by groups representing big and small energy users, small retail energy suppliers, and a cross-section of industry organisations representing a broad range of sectors. So John Duffy, who is the Consumer NZ Chief Executive, in the middle of the whole fracas, said the state of energy sector was at odds with Luxon's economic vision. Growth, 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 yet the costs are increasing and jobs are being lost. So where are we going anyway? We're never going to grow the economy if people can't afford the inputs for growth, he said. John also went on to say, what we are concerned about is a lot of people and an increasing number of people are being faced with a pretty stark choices about whether they can heat their homes or put food on the table. Those sort of rough, tough decisions. So Duffy said energy consumers were on the same page when it came to the call for reform. Now, on the other side of the coin, it is also relevant that the national government has fast-tracked solar power generation at both the household and at the national level. So it's not all bad news, but the question is, how do you break the monopolies, like in the food sector, where at this particular time you definitely need the heat, you definitely need to, of course, feed the family, but when you need the heat, you've got to pay the price. And yet, when it comes to summer, the same scenario doesn't apply. So we really have to be up on, the only way we can do it is by controlling our energy usage, which I'll cover in a little section later on in the program. So leveling the playing field puts protections in place for consumers and businesses alike. They say we must unlock investment in low-cost renewable in generation, put forward an energy strategy that is all political parties can sign up to. And this is sorely lacking in our political landscape, bipartisan or tripartisan, in this case, for electricity generation. It is an ongoing battle. It's never going to change per se. Political parties come and go, but the policies that need to be in place need to now be set in concrete so that they don't keep changing. It's a bit like the old adage, yes, I'd love to make the ends meet, but somebody's always moving the ends, and that no less the electricity sector. So there's a lot happening in the national space. Luxton is all on about gas as well, because he has a mantra of mining, you know, dig baby dig. I don't know whether he is too close to the telephone to the United States, but you know, that's another story for another day. He was asked if the government would break up the gentailers, and Luxon said the single biggest issue was a supply problem, was the fact access to gas, which you desperately need when we don't have enough wind, water and sun. Well, why don't we look at the storage dam facility that was going to be built for long-term going right down in the bottom of the South Island, and that would act as a big battery. And with the amount of water in that storage dam, it would have been able to help immeasurably in the times of downtime. So we've got so many competing interests here. We might leave this discussion for a minute, because that's going to play out way beyond my pay grade. And let's see what we can do with the housing situation. So I'm quoting from the RNZ, what's the cheapest way to heat your home? By Susan Edmonds. She's the money correspondent. If you are spending your evenings in front of a heater, you might be also keeping a wary eye on your power bill. The cost of heating your home makes up about a third of what you pay for power each month, as well as a third for hot water. So there's a two-pronged attack that you can do to reduce it. But what is the cheapest way to do it? And here's an overview of the various options and how they compare. We're looking at heat pumps. We're going to be looking at electric heaters. We'll also cover the likes of dehumidifiers, then the gas option, wood burners, and the one they forgot about so unceremoniously was the home ventilation system. I have got a fully battery backup solar system. I've had it for 5 years. So I've frozen my power price for the next 20 years. I don't need to do any more than that. I pay 8 cents a kilowatt hour for my consumption, and I get paid 8 cents on the way out. Nobody else can get that right now, in the sense that I got it when I got it, and I've locked it in. So whoop-de-doo, more coffee for me. What we're going to be looking at is the likes of heat pumps. So a quick discussion here, they have a high upfront cost, but Energy EECA, that's the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Authority, lead advisor on energy efficiency appliances, Mr. Gareth Gritton, said heat pumps were by far and away the most efficient form of heating. I will take umbrage at that when I discuss what a fantastic gain we've got with our home reticulation system. But let's see what he says. Depending on how much you charge for electricity, it might cost you about 25 to 30 cents an hour to run your heat pump for every kilowatt hour of electricity used. So you're converting money into electricity. A 6 kilowatt heat pump would use about 2 kilowatts of electricity at full power, so it would cost 50 cents per hour to run if you were paying 25 cents per kilowatt hour, which is low. It is, a lot of people are paying more than that, and watch that space. Consumer estimates that a very large heat pump might cost $1,000 a year, but a small one could cost less than 200, horses for courses. But they will deliver much more heat for the cost than a standard electric heater of the same size. So it's all about the bang for the buck. How many kilowatt hours can I get out for the unit cost that I'm spending? So he's saying here, further down the track here, he said for every unit of electricity that a heat pump used, it would give 3 or 4 units of heat, which is a good option to have. But it's a bit like electricity. It's no use buying energy efficient appliances when at the core of the problem, the heat that you're producing is going out through leaky windows, it's going out through doors that haven't got a strip underneath, it's going out through windows that don't have adequate or good thermal curtaining. So we really have to go from the outside in before we start changing appliances or getting bigger heat pumps and the like, because they don't come cheap. They really don't come cheap at all. He said that New Zealand was unusual in that its houses tended to be relatively badly insulated. Well, the EU can do something about that. In the Motuhake area, we're in an R factor where that is applicable under the EECA guidelines, and I'd be getting there pretty quickly because cuts are happening all over the place, and that facility could well be on the chopping block. However, it isn't mooted yet, but I'm glad I got in. We paid $500 out of a $5,000 bill, and we are fully insulated, and it's got a 50-year warranty. So we are going to be happy as, and we've noticed the difference in how much the heat gets up quickly into the house and stays there for longer. And I will talk about how to use a home reticulation system to maximize that gain. So you can get a lot more information if you like to take this further. It was done on RNZ today, and just Google what's your cheapest way to heat your home. So the heat pumps are possible. Question is, are you wanting to pay that extra for the sake of it? So if we look down, the Consumer magazine recommends running a heat pump no higher than 29 degrees and turning the fan up rather than the temperature if you want to heat your room quickly. Now hear my drum roll. This is an imaginary drum roll. If you've got a fan in the house, then I am a fan of fans. Not many people seem to realize that they have, in one fan unit, they've got two fans. They have a summer fan and a wind fan. This is how simple it gets. Solar heating is as simple as the following. In summer, you naturally have the fans pushing the hot air back down to mix with the cold and get a more even temperature. In winter, however, you switch it over, there's a switch at the top of the fan, and it will suck the colder air and mix it with the hot air, so you don't have that feeling that below the knees everything's freezing cold, and as it gets higher you get hotter. By having a fan system, it revolves the air around and mixes it like a good batter, if I may use the term loosely. And also you can just use a wall fan on the ground to keep the air moving around. So fans are particularly important, and it can heat the room up really well. So whether you leave heat pumps on or off is a subject matter that much has been said about, and have a read about what they're saying here. But again, some people argue it costs more to warm up a room than if it was kept at temperature all day. But James LePage, who has looked into the issue for consumer, said turning it off made more sense. Planet people, there are a number of options there. Go on to powerswitch.org and change your climate by changing your climate for the better. Okay, on to the next one. Summer's coming, and we'll be talking solar in the next few sessions. Have a great week. Bye. Ata Mario.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website freshfm.net for our contact details.